Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, bleed from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering, it's so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
I want to say welcome everyone to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Joseph Israel of the Ministry of Bible Study. And tonight we are on the Sabbath, man, and we want to thank God for the Sabbath. The Father Sabbath Day is pointing to an event that's coming in the near future. God willing, we live. I truly believe that all of us is young enough to see it, but I'm sure all the teachers said that at one time or another, and they all came and went because, you know, everything kind of stays the same, but prophecy is really running down the middle of the street nowadays. So I think it's imperative that we should really start focusing on the law,
right?
I was in there. So with that being said, we're going to say once again, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And we're going to get opened up. And the title of this precept is, Lean Not to Your Own Understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. And it's an easy fix, man, because I think that's exactly what we do probably way too much of that. We'll put ourselves in front of the Word of God. So I think that we probably should be more conscious of those things. So let's get started. If I can, I can ask my sister, my brothers and sisters, brothers, if you can stand and face Jerusalem and uncover your heads, and sisters, if you can stand and face Jerusalem and cover your heads as we approach the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren in their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and countenance upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them to hear and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well. And give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and faith to perform. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen. Indeed. So, let's get started. Once again, this is called Lean Not to Your Own Understanding. Why won't, you know, it's a warning, man. It's a warning from God because we can get wise in our own conceit. Knowledge puff up. And we'll start doing things like justifying errors and things like that because we've gotten wise to our own conceit. To those that's been listening and, you know, you're getting booted out of the program and so forth, that's not of me. I don't know why is that happening. Maybe because we got people logging in and they logging in. And you know, the Internet, you know, if you log in from the Internet, it's wide open. If you call directly in, it's only limited seating. But you're definitely not boxing or blowing people out of the ministry. That's something that we'll never do. And apologize to those that has experienced that, you know, it wasn't us. So please forgive us. So let's get started. Let's start this in Proverbs 3 and 1, right? Proverbs 3 and 1, and it says this. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart so that thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it shall be to health, and it shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. So, it said, let me read this. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy press shall burst out with new wine. So, let's look at this, man. He said, lean not to thine own understanding. And this is something that we got to be conscious of because this is something that we've been taught to do ever since there's been breath in us to do anything. And that's to be hard-headed against the commandments of God, you know. You know, not take any crap off of anybody. You know, no matter who it is, you know, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. Nowadays, man, it's... You know, hey, it's all out, every man for himself. And it's clear that this conversation is to every man for himself. And it's sad because we can't exist without each other. What's the next script? The next script we're going to is Proverbs chapter 21 and 2, Proverbs 21 and 2. And it says this, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. So all of us think we're right, but the Lord is inside our cranium, whether, you know, you're right or wrong. You truly know if you're right or wrong. You truly know, you know. Some of us just like wrong more than right. I guess, you know, if we could say that. And it's true. We do. I'm not knocking it. I mean, you know, it's hard to be good, and it's, you know, it is. It's hard to be good, you know. And some people, you know, it's good to be bad for some of us. But it's hard. you know, it's hard to perform those things, man, because Paul even said it, man. The things that I find good, I find hard to do. You know, so it's not like, you know, everybody got carte blanche on doing what's right, because if that's the case, then he would not tell us to retain this information like it can't be lost in the back of our minds, you know, in some way, form, or fashion, you know. And we'll lose it. We'll lose this information, man, in the resources of our minds, you know, with no problem. Because, well, one is that a lot of us, including myself, you know, we can get smarter than God. And this is why he said, don't be wise in your own eyes. You got to be careful, man. We got to be careful. Amen? So let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Proverbs 14 and 12. Proverbs 14 and 12. And it says this. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So while we thinking we right, we might be filling in our obituary. We might be writing in clauses for not to live tomorrow, you know, because of what we did yesterday. Even in the law, it tells us, you know, that, you know, don't tempt God. You know, I mean, he's merciful. He's gracious. He's kind. He's all those things that we need in a time of trouble. But by no means would he clear the guilty. So don't ever underestimate the power of someone that gave power to the Son. That we can't comprehend how much power it took to fire that thing up and that it'll be there for all eternity. So let's not underestimate him, thinking that we're smarter than that, right? Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 6. And it says this, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find, you know, everybody go around talking about, yeah, I do this and, you know, I do that and I'm, you know, I'm praying here and I'm fasting there, you know, for everybody to hear it and everybody to know this is what you're doing. Christ told us, man, that, you know, people hide their rewards that do that. You're getting your reward. Everybody going, oh, ah, I wish I was like you, sis or brother. I wish I could do that, man. I'm just, I don't have that kind of strength. You know, so you can sound like you're so much further in the gospel and things like that. And that's not holy. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. It says this. It says, once again, Proverbs 20 and 6, it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You know, so the idea is that are you faithful to the law? You know, some people can't find that because they don't see you doing it all the time. They just see you not being a mess. They don't see that you actually keeping the commandments of God. They see that your name isn't in mess. Associated with it is one thing, because anybody can be associated with garbage. But to be in it, that's another conversation. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Isaiah 64 in verse 6. Isaiah 64 in verse 6. And it says this. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity, like the wind, has taken us away. So we can't boast on anything. You can't really say that, you know, we the bomb or anything like that just because we know a couple of scriptures or we kept the law once, you know. Oh, wow, we kept the Sabbath day. Whoop-de-doo, you know, we did that, you know. What about your mouth? Have you kept that? Have you kept that when you received some real honest, courteous criticism? When the Lord tell you, you know, hey, man, you know, don't be tripping on chastisement. You can't stand chastisement because you're full of pride, right? We're too busy telling everybody how good we are versus our minds and our deep sins. You know, the kind of stuff that'll make somebody throw up that, you know, we actually perform. Yeah, I said it. You know, I really don't want to, you know, everybody be confessing to me all their faults and whatnot, because I just want to leave it on the altar, and I don't want to have any opinions of that individual, man, you know. But if you pour those things on me, then you're leaving me in a position of judgment. And that's not cool, because I don't want to be judging nothing. I just want to, you know, bring this message and let you discern for yourself, to think for yourself. You're a man, you're a woman. You know what's right and wrong. And if you've been listening to us, then you know the law and what's right and wrong. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into 1 Samuel chapter 26 and 23. 1 Samuel 26 and 23. And it reads, 1 Samuel 26 and 23, the Lord render every man his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord deliver unto thee into my hands Tuesday, for I will not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. So he said the Lord render every man his righteousness, right? And he even delivered Saul to David to see if David would keep the commandment. But David said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. It's a curse to do something like that. It's a curse to put your hands on the prophets. It's a curse to even put your hands on the Most High God, which is what we did, and put him on the cross. But he said, the Lord render to every man his righteousness. So it's not for us to even proclaim what we do. Remember, he render every man his righteousness, so he directed our footpaths. So if he's directing our footpaths and rendering us our righteousness, who are we to say what we're doing at any given time? Like, we're in a place to say that. That's the question. Right? Amen. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. Deuteronomy 4 and 1. You know, because he said the Lord render to every man his righteousness, right? So what is this? What is this righteousness that he's given us? Deuteronomy 4 and 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgment which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And this is why, you know, a lot of us come at crossroads, man, and, you know, with me and brothers that want to be calling on the name of God in other languages, and they're reading this book. This law right here is going to judge you. And I'm afraid for you, because the book that I read says Jesus. I don't know what that name came from. I know where it came from. It came from the Tetragrammaton. And that's not us. We didn't create the Tetragrammaton. They did. And if you read what a Tetragrammaton is and why was it created, then you know why those words were implemented and they're not in the Bible. King James hired 45 scholars to the Old and the New Testament and the Apocrypha. 45 scholars. And all of them came up with this one thing, that the name of Jesus is going to be in this King James Version. But it was the 1611 at the time. And the condensed version, what we got now, is the 1886 copy. And this is the last published. Everything else is copyrighted. So the New World Translation and all these other books just afterwards, you know, I don't care how Yahweh is up in there, it's a copyright from this. So it still changed the words. As bad as an NIV. To me, a book saying Yah or Yahweh or Elohim is just like any other books that's saying NIV or New World Translation. It's the same conversation to me. He said if you change anything in this book, you're going to end up in trouble. So, I mean, that's why I say we come at the crossroads. I still love you. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, hey, this is why. That's a crossroad for us. That's why we do this. Right. Your eyes have I seen what the Lord did because your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that follow Baal Peor, the Lord thy God have destroyed them from among you. But ye did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God has commanded me, that ye should do in the land whether ye shall go in possession. Therefore, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation and a wise and understanding people. That's why we read in Samuel that it took a king to interpret that, because in the law, I think it's in Numbers 17 or something like that. Maybe it's Deuteronomy 17, but he tell the kings to write the book with their hand. And so they come to this conclusion. Why, if you write the whole book with your hand, he said, then you read it all the days of your life while you're sitting on the throne. This is a commandment from God to the kings that sat upon the throne of David and Israel, that they should do this. And, of course, we haven't, you know. But this is the righteousness that he's given us, which is spoken of in Samuel's. The Lord render every man his righteousness. This is that thing. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Job 35 and verse 1. Job 35 and verse 1. In fact, I'm going to skip down here before we leave this Deuteronomy. Let me read that 7 and 8. It says, what nation is there so great who have God so nigh unto them? See, this is the other thing that people tend to see and we want them to see, but you don't want them to see it in pretense. You want them to see it in the truth. Which we shall hear all these words and say, surely, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who have God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Look at this, verse 8. And what nation is there so great and have statutes and judgment so righteous as all this law, which I said before you this day? That's the righteousness that he gave us. He said, the Lord give us righteousness, man. We keep the commandments, we're in a good place. I mean, for you to be out there fronting, man, you know, like I keep the commandments and whatnot, you know what I mean? It's just to do it. You know, like it's like an innate action, man, that you know, well, hey, there goes this man wallet that just fell on the ground. Well, it's like, you know, your first thought is to give it back. End of story. If it's a reserve, then there's some darkness still there. But I'm guilty of that. I mean, you know, but I'm just saying the next level. Those things that we truly believe in, there's no second guessing. There's no second thoughts or else we won't stumble and fall because they're there. If they wasn't there, we would never fall. So that lets me know that we have some work to do. We still have work to do. He said, therefore, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. We shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation, is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who have God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God and in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? That includes the United States. I mean, y'all want to give the United States a pass. Nope. That too. Them too. You can knock that off. You know, as long as you're in captivity, man, and you celebrating that madness, you the worst kind of slave, man. You're a slave. You're a slave. You're a slave catcher. You do what they say before you do what your God say. That's the truth. So I ain't got no time for it. I ain't got none whatsoever. I don't play with that. You miss me with that, you will never see me in that madness. God willing, I'll be passing through a store, but I won't be in nobody's crib with that madness in it. If I know, I ain't there. Like I said, you can miss me with that. So it says this. It says, a nation that is so great who has these statutes and judgments, so righteous is all this law, which I said before you this day. So this is the thing, man. We have to perform them versus fronting them off. Like, you know, this is something that I'm doing. Like, I really need to know. Like, to me, you telling me how you keeping the law and doing all this in the Lord, man, it's like a homosexual telling me you're a homosexual. I don't want to know. I want something that'll let me know, man. I want to see something, man. I want to see something like, nah, I'm a pass on that poor. You know, like I was watching these two dudes, they was actually fighting over the pig. They're like, man, nah, man, is that turkey? Yeah, that's turkey. That's real. That's the original. You know, they was dogging it, you know. And I said, no, I don't eat that swine. Just let them know, man. You got to be careful, man. You don't know who you're around. We all in church, playing church, talking about we believe in Jesus. Then you don't want to be Jesus. You don't want to be like Jesus. Eat like Jesus. You know, that's just a little bit too much, living in the desert or the wilderness like Jesus, or even being locked up and spit on and falsely accused like Jesus. You know. It's a lot of ways to bear the cross of God. You know. Somebody got to be put up there. Somebody got to do it. We have to determine who's doing what. You know, and most of us think, you know, because we're going through a season, you know, that I'm one of the ones, and more times than not, you probably put more people on the cross than a little bit. Lord just catching up with you to slow you down. No, we got to look inside. This is not a conversation about outside the window, laughing at people that don't eat pork, laughing at people that don't keep the Sabbath day. Nothing's funny about that. Because if they don't get it together, they're going to go to the lake of fire, and I want somebody to show me what's a Sabbath. That is sad, especially when it comes to our loved ones. You know, I know we don't want to see none of them. Hey, we don't want to see them go to the lake of fire versus some of these brothers and sisters that's supposed to be keeping the commandments, and we'd rather see them saved before them, even though they actually believe in God and converted and got baptized. It's in us. Anyway, That's why I guess we read that all our righteousness is as filthy rags, because we'll find a way to get them dirty. Job 35 and verse 1. 35 and verse 1. And, you know, this, we're not, the thing is not to lean on our own understanding. We want to always have them in the forefront of our mind, you know. If you're not there, you know, like, when we make certain decisions and whatnot, we come to the end game, you already know. Right? You know the end game. So choice is yours. Do you step over that line? Because that line could be that lake of fire. Do we step over that line? Is it there? Oh, yeah, it is. You see it every day, most of us every hour. If your eyes is open, I would say that. So anyway, let's look at this. Job chapter 35 and verse 1. Elihu spake moreover and said, thinkest thou to be right, that thou saidest my righteousness is more than God's? What? See, people think Job, man, didn't have that coming. You know, listen at this. You know, he said, because God called it on him. He said, you know, who is more righteous than this brother here? You know. And then he put him on the spot. God tried him, man. He put the hammer on him, Jack. And then he went to his core and he dug it out of him. You know what he dug out of him? Scorn. And he thought he was better than everybody else. He dug it up. And that's this thing. Elihu was letting him know what God saw in him. And now he shut down because he seen it in himself, because he remembered the words that he heard. He defended himself and lied and saying, I didn't say that. Because you got like four dudes here that said, yes, you did. You know. And now God telling him, you know, we arrogant. You arrogant. You think your righteousness is more than God. He said that. He said, thinkest thou? He don't know what a man thinks. He heard this come out of his mouth. He said, thinkest thou what advantage it would be to thee? For what profit shall I have if I cleanse from my sin? Why? Because you still going to get tried. That's the thing with people, man. You know, we all want Jesus, but we don't want to pay the cost, right? Verse 35 and 4, he said, I will answer thee and thy companions with thee. So not only you, man, I'm going to answer them too, because they were bogus. I'm going to get at them, but I'm going to answer you, right? And it says this, look unto the heavens and see, and behold the clouds which are higher than thou. If thou sinnest, what doest thou against him? Or if thy transgressions be multiplied, what doest thou unto him? And like some people have it in themselves to say, well, I ain't serving God no more. My mama died, my dog died, my sister got hit by a truck, and she can't walk no more. It's just too much. If I believed in God, he wouldn't be letting all this happen. But they don't want to give back free will. That's your madness. Now, that's a real schizophrenic. You're going to blame God for everything that's wrong in the planet, but you don't want to give back free will. If you want to give back free will, you don't know who God is. I don't care how low you're on the totem pole or where you're understanding it in this world, whether you're a mongoloid or what, I don't, what degree. Everybody got consciousness of the Most High in their presence. So he said, I will answer thee and thy companions with thee, because all of them is on different levels. So I'm going to talk to all of y'all together. And he said this. He said, and if thou sinnest, what thou doest against him, of course nothing. You know, and I actually heard somebody say that. Well, I'm doing this because God did this and that and the other. Like I just said, this is in people. I heard it with my own ears. And if thy transgressions be multiplied, what doest thou against him? If thy righteousness, which what givest thou him? If thou be righteous, forgive me, Verse 35 and 7, if thou be righteous, what givest thou him? Or what receiveth he of thine hand? So who you being righteous for? Yourself, because you saving yourself. He already righteous. He's the king of righteousness. That's his name, righteousness. Hebrews chapter 7, 1, 2, and 3 will tell you his name is righteousness. His name Melchizedek. That's him. So you can't give him righteousness. He's giving it to us. That's what we got through reading in Samuel. The Lord render unto every man his righteousness. So what do you think you're doing? You're not giving it back. You imputing it, or you writing it. I'm hoping that you writing it. You imprinting it on your hard drive. Spiritually, it said, thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man. Well, so much for that, you know, Antiochus, you know, you killed them seven sons and a mother, you know, you didn't do nothing to God, Jack. What you did is the reason why your children ain't sitting on thrones right now. And I bet you if you watch that bloodline, it's probably off the planet. But we going to continue on. It says, if thou be righteous, what givest thou him? And or what receiveth he of thine hand? Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man. By reason of multitude of oppression, they make the oppressed to cry, and they cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty. But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night? See, this is the thing. We're too busy being, like he said, we're not giving it to him first. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. You know, I dive in a problem, man. Like, you know, like I'm Mr. Fix It and make it worse. You know, instead of giving it to him out the gate and then come back to it and then I look at it, then I can fix it. Because I let him manifest the thing. So it says, verse 10, none saith, where's God my maker who giveth the song in the night? So we got to look for God for our answers, man. We can't be leaning to our own understanding. Even when we in our bed, man, we can't be giving up on them, Jack. Because we just got through praying. So even when we in our beds, we can't even give up on God, man. Even in the night, he said, you got to be a song in the night, Jack. When the last time we did something like that? You know, most of us are scared of the dark, and we'll leave TVs on all night or something on. You know, if you really want peace, just let the Bible play. And you'll be surprised where you are in the spirit when you hear it again. So, I mean, it's a suggestion, man. I ain't saying it's the end all, be all, or anything, you know. But I say it's a good dig, man, just to let the script run, you know. It can't hurt. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Proverbs 9 and 10. And let's see. Now, this is what we're supposed to be saying, right? It says, I'm going to pick it up at the 9. I'm picking it up at the 9. No, man. I got to pick it up at the 7 because this is the whole precept is leaning not to your own understanding. So if I engage with this individual, they are leaning to their own understanding, and I'm entertaining that spirit. It would be to my best interest to not even entertain that spirit anymore. So this is it. It says, he that reprove a scorner getteth himself ashamed, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Why? Because they are not to be checked by anybody, because ain't nothing clean in their sight. They proved it, you know. I mean, but it's a thing that's, you know, that even Solomon said, man, he sought out the wickedness of man, or, I mean, their witty adventures, whatever, you know. But this here, he said, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, he will love you. There, well, the actions speak louder than words, I guess, you know, if you want to look at it from that perspective. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. If thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. So he's not talking to the world. He's talking to the first fruit and the second fruit. Talking to those that's come up in first resurrection. He's also talking to those that that's of Abraham's seed, you know, who didn't get circumcised. I ain't talking about physically. But they still rendered onto the law because of that the law was in them, so to say. So they had their own righteousness, so to say, you know, their own laws written in their DNA that they just, they had bounds, that they just things they wouldn't do. They had their own sins, but that wasn't one of them. That isn't one like that, right? Let's look at this real further. Let's go into Isaiah 26 and 7. Isaiah 26 and 7. So you see, he give us wisdom so that we'll be wise, so that we can live and be righteous, not to be fronting off and sounding like the next big cheese. That ain't going to get you across the street. It's a whole lot of Burger Kings, you know. It's a whole lot of Whoppers, so what? You know, just another piece of cheese. That's nothing. This is it right here. It says Isaiah 26 and 7. It says, the way of the upright, thou most upright, doeth way the path of the just. What? Because he own them? Because he own a path? Ain't this what Jesus quoted? He said that the road is narrow. You know, if it's narrow, that means that the darkness is closer. You know, a broad world, you know, you can see a little ways. You know, you can see left and right. But a narrow road, the darkness and everything is up on you. It's a difference. It's a difference in driving on a narrow road. And it's like a, you know, country field with, you know, grass, right? Versus driving on a narrow road and the trees are over the road. That's narrow. So this road that the Lord is allowing us to be on is filled with trials and things like that. But this is what gives us the edge. Us not leaning to our own understanding. This is what give us the edge. This is what keep us from slipping and falling if we pay attention to these things, right? It says this. It says, I'll leave off. No, man, I want to read all of this. Okay, 26. Let me pick it up at 7 again. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright do away the path of the... Who is this? Let's look at him right quick. All right, Hebrews chapter 7:1. This is the one that's in Isaiah chapter 26, in verse 7. He the one that weighs the path for the just. This is him right here in Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the king and blessed him, to whom also Abram gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. King of righteousness, king of peace. And you notice something you don't see here? Shalom. You see Salem, Salem. And because this is a Greek, that E is really supposed to be A, so it's really supposed to be Shalom, not Shalom. Shalom is Yiddish. Shalom is barely in the Bible. Barely. I mean, it's written in a way that it's in a name. It's not even a stone. It's not even a real context in the Greek. You're more better off saying this than Shalom, believe it or not. Because we know who we're talking about here, the king of Salem, or the king of righteousness. You know, the king of peace. Shalom don't leave you with nothing. It never left me with much. I mean, you know, not the love that I had for my brother. That was one thing, but Shalom is Yiddish. Anyway, without mother, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided for priests continually. That's the one that's weighing out our path. That's the one that came and told us of this road. That's him. That's Jesus Christ. And he the one that told us that the road was going to be narrow. He the one that said, there's ravenous wolves out there. He even said, have you seen the lions out there? You know. So, he even called bears out of it. So, when he talks about it, he's trying to tell us that the road is narrow because the world is that wicked. And you're surrounded by it. And you're supposed to be able to go through it, not in it. That's if we're not leaning to our own understanding, right? Right. Okay. Let's see. I keep getting a chime. It's bugging me. Let me see if I think it's my core. What I'm going to do, I'm going to close some of these apps. I'm not needing. Yeah. Okay. And okay. Well, hey, shalom, everybody. Where are we? In Hebrews chapter 7. So, again, he was reading in Isaiah that this is him. We've been talking about he rendered unto every man his righteousness. Well, that's him. He's the king of righteousness. We're talking about the Melchizedek priesthood. Why is he rendering unto us his righteousness? Why would Melchizedek be doing that, right? Because he said this. This is why we don't lean our own understanding. We follow his, and we get to points like this. Revelations 5, 9 and 10, and it says this. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Whatever it is. You see, there it is right there. He said, This is why he gave us the righteousness, that we become kings and priests, like him. So it's not like, you know, you ain't doing this for nothing. You know, we got an end game in this if we really believe these things. If you don't believe these things, then you're really wasting your time even listening. But if you believe these things, then you're going to make sure that you take heed to these things and, you know, you want to be on this side of these things. Anything can become our God in a minute, man. Ezekiel 33 and 7. Oh, I'm in 7. I'm sorry. It's 33 and 7. My bad. Ezekiel 33 and 7. It says this. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore shall thou hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. He didn't say start a church. He just said warn the people. He didn't say be a pastor. He just said warn the people. Well, Ezekiel, a prophet, I mean, and he's the son of a priest, you know. So he had all the credentials, but he didn't, that wasn't his call. He was a prophet, 100%. And he was a watchman. But you don't hear him talking about, this brother was with me, this brother was with me, this brother was with me, this brother was with me. That's not his conversation. His conversation is 100, thus saith the Lord. And he'll be sitting amongst them, sitting amongst the elder, and the spirit will be hitting him, and he'll let everybody have it. Oh, he dropped that Ezekiel 14. He killed the prophets. He killed us, planted with us. Let me read that right quick. This is why we don't need our own understanding. Here it is, Ezekiel 14 and 1. It says, then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. He didn't go to them. They came to him because they knew what a book, they knew what the word of God was. So they sat before him, right? Listen to what he's saying. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, these men have set up an idol in their heart. And put a stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of all at them, by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up an idol in his heart and a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols. We don't want it. We don't want it. We don't want it. We don't want that. That's way up the food chain. He's talking about, I'm going to answer you according to the nonsense inside your thoughts. Are you kidding me? But he ain't just talking to anybody. He's talking to those just in the know. See, that's a different conversation. He's not talking to people that don't know God. He's talking to them. He said, certain of the elders came to me. That's a different conversation. So God is dealing with them on a whole new level, man. He's dealing with them on a page that they should not be on. He's dealing with them on a level that they should not be at, I should say. 5, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel or of a stranger that sojourn in Israel will separate himself from me and set up an idol in his heart and put up the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me. I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. Don't want it. See, this is why you don't pray with God. This is why we don't be sitting up there talking about, you know, we want to be playing with him. Don't play with him. He don't got that playroom. He got mercy room. He is not a child. He is this internal flame that nothing can put out. This is what he's saying. He's giving us an out. The out is right here is this. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent, turn yourselves from your idols, plural, not one, not two, all of them, and turn away your faces from all your abominations, whatever that may be. For every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojoineth in Israel will separate himself from me. See, the stranger, see, there you go. They know God because they're written in the law. They're written in the Sabbath law. You know, the stranger's going to keep the Sabbath day too. So they're written in the law that they should know God. But they got the same thing in them, same thing that Paul said. If he said, what did he say? He said, behold the goodness and the severity of God. He said, because he cast Israel away, don't think he won't do it to you. That's what he said in Hebrews chapter 11. He gave that to the Gentiles. He said, even though I'm apostle to the Gentiles, you take this with you. If you boast yourself against the natural branches, he'll cut you off. You better keep that to yourself. I don't care how high and mighty you may be up the food chain. You can be sitting right there at Biden's table. Or you can be sitting at Trump's table. But when you come around one of his, you better act like it. That's how it works. Oh, that shit is for outdoors. And I will set my face against that man, and I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And if that prophet be deceived, when he have spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him. I will destroy him from the midst of my people, Israel, and they shall hear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall even be as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. See, we got to be careful who we following, Jack. Got these dudes out here self-proclaiming they gods, man. They angels and whatnot. We tripping. We done lost our minds, man. And we seeking for them for the truth, and they blasting them out the gate. Okay. If you say so, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted anymore with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. Well, there it is. Crime, punishment, solution. All in one chapter. In five verses, we got the crime, the seven. And we got the crime, the punishment, and the solution. Just like that. Repent or pay for it. He said, and they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. I mean, we repented, but we still going to pay. That's the other thing we don't want to give up, you know, that's going to happen. That got to happen. We got to pay. We got to pay for our sins. We don't want to meet God with them. So you pay now or pay later. You want to do, you want to pay now or pay later. You know, paying now is a good thing. At least you're still on top of the dirt. And then you ain't meeting God with a payment in your hand. All right? Okay, let's look at this a little further. Wow, man, I'm so used to being getting ready to wrap up at this hour. I forgot I started at 8. Well, I'm going to do a few more scripts. Romans 8:1. No, no. I had actually wanted to go to Ezekiel 33, but I was in that, and that brought us over here to 14, because that ain't the first time he snapped off on the people. But he went at the elders first. God showed him how to do it. He went to the elders first, and then he went to the people and checked them too. He didn't just check the people. He checked the elders first. Let's see. 33:7. Ezekiel 33:7, and it says this. So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore shall thou hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou doest not speak to warn them that the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. So, you know, the only job you got, man, is just tell them, you know, hey, man, sin is sin. That's it. Ain't no sugarcoating it. You know, I don't care how close you are and how far out there the food chain, you got to tell them the truth, man. You know, it is what it is, whether they like you or not. You know, I don't care what you say, man. You know, it's only one sacrifice on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, man, on the Passover. It's only one that can't remain in the morning. Deuteronomy chapter 16:4, you can't get around it. That's the law. It's only one sacrifice can remain until the morning. Deuteronomy 16:4 said it's the first day. Can't get around it. Then Moses back it up again with Exodus 12 and 14. You're going to eat unleavened bread from the 14th day? And you count up your number 17 days from the first day. We're a witness to ourselves, you know. What do you mean? Well, I ain't buying no matzo crackers until it's time. I ain't like I'm going to the store. I'm finna make a matzo pizza. You know, I'm gonna put these matzos in some chili, right? I'm finna make some taco matzos, right? Now, I ain't thinking about them things until the week of unleavened bread because they dry. They taste stale, and they boring. But we're a witness to ourselves that on the first day of unleavened bread, we make sure we got a box of them, don't we? What is that? On the Passover. You eat unleavened bread the first night of unleavened bread. Why are you taking the bread and the wine? You a witness to yourself. Come on, man. Ten. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? See, that's in this is Moses talking, because he told Moses this in Leviticus chapter 26. Or was it 25? Hold up. I think he told him this in 25. Nope, 26. Yep, 26. He told him this in the 26 and Leviticus 26 and 38. It says this, and you shall perish among the heathens. Here we are. And you shall perish among the heathens, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquities in your enemies' land. And also the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. That's what Ezekiel had just spoke. He said, we doing it. But here go the out. If they confess their iniquity, that's the first thing. You can't be hiding. He said, you confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers and the trespasses which they trespass against me, and that they have walked contrary unto me, and I have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If their heart be uncircumcised and hearts be humble, and they accept the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. That's a whole lot of forgiving. He said, I'm going to remember the kingdom when I talk to you. What? All because you repented and confessed your fault, and, you know, like Adam did, hid him in his bosom? Really? That's all it takes. But he, you know, Ezekiel is a Levite, man, so he just echoing Moses here, right? 33 and 10, were we? Let's see. We call this one of fun nuggets, right? It says, Ezekiel chapter 1 and 3, the word of the Lord came especially unto Ezekiel, the priest. He's a Levite. He's quoting Moses. All right. Now let's go back to 33. Okay, 33 and 10. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus shall you speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Really? I guess we all heard that, didn't we? We all heard that. You can't say we ain't here. I heard it. I know I heard it. Want to run around the church if you want to. This will put the brakes on people. Look. You be all falling out, and you read something like this, and the church will come to a pause, like, what the what? What? Did he just say? He said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's enough right there to make somebody stop in their track. Because we always want to blame God, you know, even for the wicked. He just said it right here. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, even though they wicked. I don't have no pleasure. I don't take pleasure in that, even though I executed them. I don't fund that. He said, turn from his way and live. Turn ye, right? He ain't talking about the wicked now. He's talking about us. He said, turn you, turn ye, turn we, turn ye from your ways. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O Israel? He ain't talking to the wicked. He's talking to Israel. See? Different when you're inside, you know, and you're looking, you know, the Lord looking, making you see it from the inside out. You know, we always on the inside out, you know, like, they ain't keeping the Sabbath, they eating pork, they doing this, they doing that, da-da-da-da-da, until He's put us on the inside, and then we see ourselves. Notice he didn't exclude the elders either. He said, man, they got stumbling blocks in their hearts. They putting up stumbling blocks. Are you kidding me? They putting up stumbling blocks, yo. And if there's stumbling blocks in them, they putting it in the people. They setting up stumbling blocks in the people. You know what those are? Whispers. Stumbling blocks are whispers in the dark. Things that people don't know about somebody else that only the elders are privy to because of the sacrifices of sin. When somebody confesses a fault, it's supposed to be on the altar and left there. We take the sacrifices off the altar and give it to the people. We don't have no knowledge of what we're doing. But that's why we can't lean to our own understanding. We so Sunday Christian, man, we missing a whole planet, Jack. Anyway, what was that? 12. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteous of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression, as for the wickedness of the wicked, shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his wickedness, neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. Man, you could have fed a million people. You could have did a Gandhi. You could have did a Sister Teresa. You could have did a Joan of Arc. You could have did a Jesus Christ. And none of that would matter in the day that you sinned or day that we sinned from God. Right? It all get wiped out just like that. Boom. Real? You don't get no brownie points? So we want to play with this kind of power. We want to insult this kind of intelligence that's sitting on the throne of judgment, that's telling us he do things like this, right? He's warning us against ourselves. Ezekiel 33 and 13, it says this. It says, when I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if thou trust in his own, if he trusts in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. See? So it don't matter if you fed 100 people or you gave your life savings away. It doesn't matter to feed the poor and the afflicted. If you're out here breaking the commandments, man, you're doing it for nothing. You're just doing something. For yourself. Technically, it'll be for yourself. That's what you're doing it for. All that stuff he said, go to garbage. Right? And then it says this, 14, he said, and again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and if he turn from his sins and do that which is lawful and right, if that wicked restore the pledge and giveth again that he robbed and walked in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live and shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be remitted unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, and he shall surely live. You're going to let him in the kingdom. That's why he said, that's why he came in the flesh and said, you're going to see the publicans get in the kingdom and you yourself will stop. That sad song, Lord, haven't I fed the hungry? Haven't we done this in your name? Haven't we cast out devils? You're going to say, I never knew you because you had some stumbling blocks in our head. We was living in an imagination of a world that we created that God coexists and he don't. We will not coexist in madness. We think he is or we think he will. Anyway, let's see. Verse 15, no, 16. None of his sins that he have committed shall be mentioned unto him. This is Melchizedek. Listen now. Because he told us that when he was talking to Moses. He said, the Lord, our God, suffering, long suffering, full of mercy. Well, this is it. Right here. Most of it is that, yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal, but as for them, their way is not equal. Ooh, they equilibrium is off. They said the God of Israel is equilibrium is off. He got vertigo. Ooh, he ain't balanced. He not perfect. His ways are not equal. We said that to God, I guess so. If we put him on the cross, I guess we would say something like that. Perfection. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committed iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you and everyone after his ways. he left that on him in verse 20, right? So, you know, we can't be leaning on our own understanding because the Lord will catch us in our foolishness, you know. And we can see that he ain't playing with us. He's in the thick of it, you know. And remember now, he said, and the people would testify that he in the thick of it because they say, man, God is really near you, you know. Right. You had to cast shade on him. James 1 and 25. No, 8. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Let's stay on the floor. Romans chapter 8 and 1. We're just going to do a couple of quick hitters after this. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to leave off at the James. And then we'll pick it up next Sabbath. God, when we live at the second half of this. But anyway, Romans chapter 8 and 1. It says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. And that's what we're supposed to be doing in front of the world, condemning sin in front of the flesh. We ain't supposed to be proclaiming it like, nah, I ain't eating that pork. You know, it's just that you condemn it. Like, oh, you know, just don't do it. Oh, they got pig in it? Oh, man, I can't. I won't be eating that. They take note of you. You ain't no pig. And everybody, first thing they're going to do is put you in their favorite box. Muslim. That's the first box they're going to put you in. Until you tell them you don't eat catfish and shrimp. Then they got to take you out of that box. Muslims eat abominations. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, that were Christ inside of us. Or the Melchizedek priesthood inside of verse 4. Which is light. We walk after the righteousness of the law. That's the light fulfilled in us. We walk not after the flesh, but of the Spirit. For they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, even indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of us, none of his. Oh. Okay, let me read this again. 8. It says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So it's impossible for us to sin against God if he's there, you know, if he's inside of you, man, you can't do it. Just can't do it. You can't pull yourself to it. If he really inside of you, like this here, this is the law. He's saying if he's inside of you,
you can't sin. If he's not inside of you, you will sin. Why? Because of this. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit of life because of righteousness. See? The body won't move, but the righteousness of God will. The Chesedic priesthood will stand. The law will stand of the Chesedics. I will say that. Okay. But if the spirit of him that rises of Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raises up Jesus Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So, can't lean our own understanding because it gives us this. If we remember to do his will, then he's going to change our body. Remember now he said, long life shall it add on to you. Well, he's going to quicken our mortal bodies and turn it into his. So, you see the law and the testimony testifying of themselves. You see that the promise that we read over in Proverbs chapter 3, he said, lean not to your own understanding for what? It's going to add on to you long life. Why? Because he's going to change our mortal bodies and by his spirit that dwelleth in us. You see, it says, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the flesh, through the spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. Best verse, James chapter 1 and 25. James 1 and 25. And it says this. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continual therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. He's not leaning to his own understanding. He's leaning on to God's understanding. Look at what he said. He said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's not leaning to your own understanding. See that? See how easy that just passed by us? But this man is not looking, leaning to his own understanding. He said, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he shall, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. See? And it goes on, let's read to the 27th. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is vain. You know, we got a lot of that, you know. People always want to be talking loud and saying nothing, you know. They figure the louder they talk, the more sense they make or something. Maybe, I don't know. I think that's what it is. I'm so serious. You know. But, we know different because the law said, even a man, even a fool, when he holds his tongue, he's considered wise, right? Where are we? 1 and 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I guess that's not leaning to your own understanding too, right? Okay, so he just gave us the pros and the cons. He taught us how to do it and told us how to seek him out, right? So this is that thing. All right, so look, everybody. Just say Shabbat Shalom, hoping everybody, you know, got the Sabbath, kept the Sabbath, so forth. God willing, we'll be here tomorrow morning. If not tomorrow morning, definitely tomorrow afternoon before the sun go down, I'm going to send a kite out to everybody, and we're going to be going in. So y'all keep your heads open, all right? All right. So love y'all. Godspeed. We'll talk later. Bye, Shalom.
Shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.